This episode of Taking Notes is brought to you by Collaboration University, the first and only independent technical conference specifically for same-time and quick-place professionals. Collaboration University has over 30 sessions dedicated to giving you the most in-depth education for same-time and quick-place. Learn about development, administration, and the new versions of both products, including brand new material and code never seen outside IBM. Coming September 13th through the 15th in Kansas City and September 27th through 29th in London. Register now at www.collaborationuniversity.com. Again, that's www.collaborationuniversity.com.
Welcome to Taking Notes, the Lotus Notes and Domino podcast. Here are your hosts, Bruce Elgort and Julian Robichaud.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 31 of the Taking Notes podcast for Thursday, September 7th, 2006. My name is Bruce, and I am here with
Julian Robichaud.
And the Taking Notes podcast covers everything IBM Lotus. So let's get right into things tonight. And Julian, why don't you tell us who we're going to be talking with this evening?
Well, Bruce, tonight on the show, we've got a couple of special guests.
Well, who are they?
The first special guest is Eric Mack. He works for ICA. And Eric, what do you do for ICA?
I am an e-productivity specialist, and that's a fancy way of saying that I show people how to leverage their technology investment to get things done.
All right, and then on the phone, as a matter of fact, Bruce is doing an experiment here, and he used Skype out. He used Skype out to call Alan Lepofsky on a landline. So, Alan, how are you doing out there?
I'm doing great. Thanks good. For asking. A good late evening for me here on the East Coast.
And who is Alan Lepofsky?
Alan Lepofsky is a marketing person in the Lotus brand of the IBM software group, a Lotus evangelist of all sorts.
As well as a blogger at alanlepofsky.net, right?
I have been known to write a blog or two about how to use Lotus Notes effectively.
Yes. And you have that is a dang great blog, if I must say so
absolutely
myself.
If you must.
So oh, Julian, go ahead and say
Julian,
it
Julian okay I did Julian, yeah. what are we talking about tonight?
All right, why have I brought us all here today? Why are we all standing here talking to each other? There have always been a lot of discussions on the blogosphere and just among people in general about IBM marketing of Lotus Notes, and it kind of comes in waves, I think, where we have these periods where people are just kind of whining and complaining about, oh my gosh, why isn't Notes marketing better, and what can we do to sell Notes? Then it kind of dies down for a while and it comes back up. And I think that the most recent wave that we hit started about 2 weeks ago with an Eric Mack post about why don't people get Notes? And that was a couple weeks ago. And Eric, I'll let you go ahead and just start off by kind of describing the scenario around that.
Well, that the concept of why people don't get Notes is certainly a theme that shows up often. And it, by the way, it applies to a variety of technologies. For those of us passionate about Notes, obviously we're sensitive to that. But 2 weeks ago, I was invited to do a podcast with David Allen and Merlin Mann and Robert Peek over at the David Allen Company. And this podcast is part of a Geek TD series that David's doing. And the very first thing he did when he turned on the microphone is he turned to me and said, Eric, so why don't people get Notes? We've got this great tool. It's been around for 20 years. And I'm amazed that I walk into some of the most effective companies in the world that have Notes, and they barely know that they can do anything beyond send an email with it. Why is that? And then, of course, the conversation went on from there. And it was a fascinating day and a fascinating podcast. I'll let you know when that comes up online. And that got me thinking again, because it pushed a hot button. And the one thing that I didn't blog about that day when I posted is 2 hours after I was in the recording studio, I went to my bank, Union Bank in Santa Clarita, and I happened to notice that the teller had an email printed out on her desk, and it had the very distinguished Lotus rocket ship email banner. And I said, oh, I see you use Lotus Notes. And she said, yeah, I hate Lotus Notes. And I thought, wow, that's an interesting contrast. Now, I didn't merit her comment very high, because I said, well, what did you use before you switched to Notes? And she said, well, I used Microsoft Word. So I realized that she didn't get the whole picture. But at the same point, it illustrated we've got this problem. We have a powerful tool, and there are those of us who really get it. And, you know, Alan, I love your blog, and every day you just uncover something new that you can do with this 20-year-old product. And every day we walk in and serve clients who have had this product for years and have no idea they can do some of these features. So I just put my rant out on there on the web, knowing that somebody would pick it up and run with it. And here we are today. There are a number of threads and over 150 comments and growing.
Yeah, here and really, actually, Bruce and I mentioned this, I think, on the last podcast, where we kind of had a real brief discussion for just a couple of minutes of what the difficulty in selling Notes is. And you know, I think I just kind of end up saying that my take was that it was just so hard to kind of boil down Notes into one or two sentences, where if someone's like, oh, what is that Notes thing, you can't just very quickly tell them what it is, because you know, it could take a whole day to tell someone all the things that Notes can do. And when you start talking about comparisons, you know, it's not, when you compare you know, say Microsoft Exchange to Lotus Notes, it's not apples to apples, it's kind of apples to fruit baskets. You know, there's all this stuff that Notes can do. And then Eric kind of followed up, I guess, the other day with a post about how to save a Lotus Notes customer.
Oh, that was so funny.
Yeah, and I guess, Eric, you kind of mentioned that you said, okay, fine, if you want to get rid of Notes, let's just see what we need to do to replace it. And that kind of went on and on and on, didn't it?
It did. You know, the other piece I didn't mention in the comments of that particular thread was someone said, well, why would you tell your customer that? And this customer had been a 10-year Notes customer, and we go through this dance about once a year. And I decided that I might serve him more effectively by letting him make the decision rather than let me choose what I think is in his best interest. And so we got the paper out, he made the decision very quickly, and then we moved forward and continued on.
Yeah, and I think
that
kind of
along. Right?
You went to the bank.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
I can give you guys my perspective on this a little bit. I'll jump in since I've been a little silent. But
go.
You know, I've been doing this since I guess about 1993, working with Notes and Domino. It wasn't Domino at that time, but at IBM. And it's interesting to see some of the same issues we had then are still things we're talking about today. And that was the initial, how do you explain to people, you know, the point of this question, you know, what are Lotus Notes and Domino? And we used to refer to it as the aha factor. You'd go visit a customer and, you know, you'd be explaining to them what it does and they wouldn't get it and their eyes were glossed over. And you would find that one magic bullet, hopefully, you know, a business process that they do, or, you know, you'd look at them and say, oh, well, what if we took your warehouse shipping and said, you know, this manager has to approve this before it goes to the next step? Or, you know, you took something that was tangible to them and they went, oh, you know, I get what groupware is now all of a sudden. They, you know, in 1993, people weren't talking about, you know, even our competitors' products yet, because they didn't have them. So establishing sort of a new market like groupware was difficult. Now that everyone sort of gets what collaboration is, it's interesting that we're, you know, there's still somewhat of an uphill battle solely because we've kept evolving what Notes and Domino do. You know, you mentioned earlier, it's you know, it can do different things for different people. It can be a scanning solution for people. You know, not just email or applications. You can put documents into it. You can do faxing from it. You know, there's all these bolt-on applications that IBM and business partners, third party, have built, and that just keeps extending the, you know, communications that are needed around explaining what it does to people. So, but those are some of the things we've been trying to work on, you know, that it's not an email platform type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The second experience I have with this sort of conversation is, you know, Eric, I want to thank you for the comments on my blog, and that's exactly what led me to blogging. I sat there and said, I've got all this information in my head about things that, you know, I know how to do in the product, and I stand in the lunch line, you know, even inside an IBM cafeteria, and I hear the person in front of me saying, I wish Lotus Notes could do this, or I wish, you know, there was a way I could automate this. And I said, well, you know, excuse me, let me tap you on the shoulder, I can do that. And you just click here, and you're done. And this, you know, the metaphor of blogging sort of gave me an opportunity to take that to the thousands of readers, you know, that can take a look at it. So I think blogging came along at, you know, the right time for me to start doing this a year or two ago and sharing some of those experiences.
Now, it's kind of interesting when you were talking about some of the, I guess, way back when, things that you had to do with marketing or things that you did in terms of trying to find what was the best fit for the customer and something they could really embrace as a notes application. That sounds like that's kind of the killer app theory of marketing, where if you can get them that one killer app on your application, then suddenly they can embrace it and they can actually allow it to spread throughout the company. Is that still a very effective way of getting notes in the door?
Absolutely. In my opinion, once it becomes, you know, personal or tangible to somebody, and it's not a marketing conversation anymore, it's not, well, let's look at the internet standards we support and let's look at all the marketing facts and statistics of how scalable it is. You know, people can glaze over that. But when you look at them and say, we can automate this workflow process inside your company that helps you, you know, move your products to life cycle quicker or something like that. You know, when there's something for a specific company that they go, oh, this is how we do it today. You're telling me I can do it this way tomorrow, and that information can be shared better, or it can be, you know, relayed to people quicker, or it can extend the reach of who I'm communicating with. Any of the various properties that Notes brings to them, when they look at it and it means something to them as opposed to a bullet point on a website, you know, that's critical. You know, it probably goes for any product. It's probably, you know, sort of a generic marketing statement, but with something as broad as Notes, I do believe that's sort of the way to go instead of overkill and telling them it can do everything.
Here's a question that I have. I was looking over some of the old comments from past discussions, and I brought this up. Actually, I was looking on my weblog. I made a post in July of 2004, and I was talking about how companies sabotage Notes, and apparently triggered by another rant that I had observed. And I wonder if part of the challenge is that we're dealing with something that, in some people's eyes, is 20 years old. So if a new technology or buzzword comes out, people are quick to jump on it. The marketers are quick to jump on it. Perhaps even the IBM people are quick to jump on it. And could it be, I ask the question, that, you know, well, Notes has been around forever, and, you know, what's new in Notes? And for the uninformed, they may not realize how much is new and how much that product continues to evolve.
Well, yeah, you know, it's certainly something that's always frustrating to me as a marketing person to have the fact that we're mature and have been doing it and have experience and the product has, you know, gotten better and better over the years as a negative. You know, I don't want to talk about it as being old. I want to talk about it as being, you know, 15 years versioned better, as opposed to let's just jump on whatever the new, you know, Web 2.0 technology is or
right.
The newest version.
Legacy is mature.
You know, there's, you know, cars have been doing the same thing essentially for 100 years. They've got four wheels and a steering wheel, and mm-hmm. each year they get a little bit better engine and a little bit cooler features and some more safety built into them. But a car is a car, and I don't hear anybody complaining about the fact that, you know, I'm only going to buy a car if it's evolved or morphed into a flying vehicle, or if I can drive it in the water, or if it looks totally different.
Right.
You know, it's a difficult thing, but at the same time, I can certainly appreciate the fact that people want to latch on to the newest technology, and they often don't associate the fact that that newest technology, whether, you know, buzzword compliant, if it's Ajax or web services or something like that, they don't realize that, you know, back to our slogan, yes, you can do that in Notes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But that's the IT people saying that, right? Not the end users. The end users don't give a hoot about, you know, web services or any of this other stuff. It's been my experience that when you place applications in a company, like you mentioned before, Eric and Alan, that help someone perform, you know, steps to perform a transaction in their Notes apps, you know, they're not collaborative apps at that point. They're not groupware apps. They're just applications that help people get the job done.
Right.
Yeah. Well, let me just jump in here real quick, because that segues perfectly from Bruce, what you just said, getting the job done. You know, I've been a big proponent internally as of late at IBM of talking about our grassroots and where we come from and looking at the way we used to do things, and you'll see some of that on my blog as well. And the most perfect example of that is a poster that I have in my office from 1991, one of the very first Notes ads, and there's a slogan in it that says, "The first software that actually thrives on the fact that people need to work together to be effective." Mm-hmm. So, you know, back then it was talking about Notes creating communities, and the final tagline in the ad is, "After all, helping people work together is what Lotus does best." So, you know, we're talking 15 years ago here, and this is the exact saying that, you know, we need to focus on today. Mm-hmm. This is a software that lets people get together, share their knowledge, share the processes they do, share their business logic, and, you know, make their companies more effective.
Mm-hmm. So, Julian, what led you to that impromptu marketing effort of yours?
Oh, the Lotus Notes yet does that too?
Yeah.
I guess I was still thinking about when we were discussing from the last podcast about what the difficulty is with selling notes, and again, just from the standpoint that it can just do so many things, mm-hmm. it just occurred to me that maybe we should just embrace that. Maybe that should be a good thing. That shouldn't be something we actually shy away from and say, well, yeah, it does all that, but don't look at that right now. Let's look at something else. And so that's something that I think all of us notes people end up just saying over and over and over again anyway. Mm-hmm. People talk about all these new technologies like Alan's talking about, oh, Ajax and this and that. Well, yeah, you can do that with notes too. And for some reason, I don't know why, but that's very impressive to us notes people, I think. And to end users, a lot of times I don't think they get the full impact of that. That yes, you can do all this stuff. You don't have to go out and buy new products or install new platforms or anything like that. And you know, some of the problems I think in terms of continuing on with notes within an organization is a lot of times you just kind of want it to look kind of new and cool and sexy and different. And I think that fits in a lot with the Nifty 50 conversation that a lot of people have had, mm-hmm. is that, well, gosh, since notes can do all this stuff, let's have things that not only can do it, but that look really cool too, so that people, you know, when Alan's talking about new cars, you know, cars really haven't changed all that much over the last however many years. At the same time, yeah, after you had the same car for 5 or 7 or 10 years, you kind of just want a new car.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the old one might still work just fine, you know, hey, let's get something that just looks different, rides better, is just cooler, that you can show off to your friends. And it would be neat to do something like that with notes, where suddenly not only is it doing all this stuff, but it's cool too.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully that's what we'll be achieving with the next major release.
Yeah, well, I mean,
you know,
I don't think we need our plan.
Yeah, I don't think we even need the next major release, though, to accomplish this. We could even go back a few releases and accomplish incredible results. I'd like to throw a thought out there. Bruce and Julian, were you around in the Notes days at the time of Ken Wax? Do you remember his seminars?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Ken had this great little presentation where he'd do, and he'd talk about what is Notes, and, oh, Notes is this great distributed replicatable object store, and he'd go on and on and on. Or he'd say, Notes is what the XYZ Corporation uses to keep their people in touch and get things done. And I've used his presentation method many times very successfully to focus on the outcome as opposed to the technology. And sometimes, or many times, in fact, it helps avoid getting railroaded by the technology discussions. Now, technology discussions are certainly appropriate, and they have their place. But as Alan was pointing out, the end user just wants to know, can I do this, and will it work for me?
Mm-hmm.
So I think when we talk about this stuff, we should also be talking about applications. That's why I'm definitely a big fan of seeing the Nifty 50 concept grow. I hope that IBM will embrace that as much as the web community appears to have done so. And even get people to share some testimonials about some of the apps that they're using and why they work for them. I made a note, if you guys want, I can talk about it later on. I made a note of just a couple of the apps that we use and why I think they're cool. And I think that people need to hear about those so that they can look at those success stories and see how that might work in their own organizations.
let's before we talk about some of those apps, I have some to offer. I don't know, Julian and Alan and Eric, but we have to thank Collaboration University for sponsoring episode
Toga.
Collaboration University for sponsoring episode 31. And for those of you who have not yet registered, next week, September 13th through 15th in Kansas City, is the first Collaboration University seminar. And then in September, at the end of the month, September 27th through 29th in London. So you can register now at www.collaborationuniversity.com. Again, www.collaborationuniversity.com. And I heard there's a few seats left, so head on over there. It's going to be a great you know,
did you just announce a product that nobody's supposed to know about?
Yeah, Apple QuickTime.
QuickTime in same place.
All right. So thanks again, Collaboration University, for sponsoring actually the last three or four episodes of the podcast. And so applications. You know, I think I commented today on Ed's blog. I've had a lot of experience with a company, a large company that sells aviation fuel, and they're a huge Lotus Notes company. Practically 95% of their applications outside of their ERP system, which is, say, Great Plains, are all Notes applications, and these applications help them get fuel to FBOs, fixed base operators. They help manage investment projects. You know, when should they assist, say, an FBO at an airport to build a fuel farm? You know, things that you just wouldn't think are collaborative, you know, groupware type of applications. These applications people use in accounting and executive management to make things happen.
Oh, sounds like a very effective case study for a company. That's definitely the type of things we want to see people building in Notes.
Yeah, well, and you know, I think that plays to the fact that a lot of the applications that end up getting built for Notes are not these kind of grand conceptual applications that say, oh, we're going to tie the entire organization together and we're going to have these 200 tiers of workflow and management and communication, things like that. It's that there's someone in some department that says, I have this process, and I just need to get this process automated. I need to get it into a system with some kind of notifications. Can you do that for me?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just where Notes excels. And you can do it very, very quickly. And again, the downside ends up being that a lot of times when you do it very quickly, it just doesn't look all that pretty. And so you have something that works for like 6 months, and then after 6 months, everything is still working great, but someone looks at it and they're like, you know, I really just want something to look better.
Mm-hmm.
and then you have this new car thing where you just, gosh, I just want this new car. And maybe some of the things that will be good to do for, really Notes to developers is not only focusing on these cool new applications and new things we can do, but gosh, using some techniques to put some nice user interfaces on some of these things.
Mm-hmm. It's a highly sophisticated application framework. You know, it really, really is. It gives the user a consistent, you know, window to look at into all these corporate applications that are integrated with email, that are secure, that have controls. You know, it's, you know, what can I say, Alan?
Yeah. Now, well, now, Alan.
You know, well, I'll jump in here real quick.
Ahead.
And one of the things I was going to mention is that, as Eric said, we don't have to wait for the new versions. It amazes me how often I visit companies that talk about the existing Notes applications they have that aren't taking advantage of features that were in, you know, R5, release 6, and, you know, some of the new things in 7. I look at the main application development things we put in Note 6, new types of edit controls and new things you can do to columns and backgrounds and views and mm-hmm. the use of colors in different ways and, you know, all sorts of, you know, the color column. You know, definitions are one of my favorite examples, and rich text, light fields, and layers on rich text fields, and different table types. You know, all of these new features aren't being used in these applications. So the end users look at them and feel that, you know, back to the example of a car, as Julian pointed out, they feel like it's their 5 or 6 year old car, where guess what, you could give that car a complete, you know, body job, a new paint job, some new seats inside it, and a whole new radio just by, you know, adding new features.
Eric, did you want to add something about productivity apps?
Well, I'll get there in just a second, but as Ellen, as you were describing these, I was thinking of two immediate, very simple and archaic things that Notes does and does well that really turns the light on for many people, and that is doc links and newsletter agents. Neither are terribly complex to use. You can train a workforce in a matter of seconds, and yet you can transform the way people work with those two very simple features.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, links are just absolutely one of the main topics that, you know, for those who have read my blog or those that are going to after tonight, links are one of the main topics that I've probably done 15, 20 different blog posts about links, because I'm with you. It's, you know, everyone kind of gets it on the web. Let me send you this big, long URL string, and you can go visit this page. And people don't realize that within the Notes environment, you can link to anything. Mm-hmm. You can link to documents or views or databases or specific places in a document. It's absolutely a fundamental. I agree with you.
You know, I would say that doc links and rich text have been consistently the two among the two most powerful end-user tools. And let me describe that for just a second. Going back even to Notes 2, when I started working on this stuff, the idea that you could have a container that you could put things into. I was very big into pager gateways at the time and fax gateways and things like that. So those were the contents. And the fact that I could drag a TIFF object and put it into a Notes document and store it and then have it replicate and show up somewhere else. That was huge. Now, people sort of expect that kind of functionality today, yet there are a few products that really offer it. And so when I sit down and show people how I use, let's say, unified messaging, and the fact that I get my voicemail and my email and my faxes and my video mail and all of that in one place, they're not quite sure what to do with that, but they can see the value in that.
Well, and you know, it's funny that you mentioned rich text and doc links, because those are actually the two things that make it most difficult to integrate Notes with other applications.
True.
And actually, I think that's partially
because
other
applications... Which is why the world should use Notes.
Well, I mean, I think that's partially because other applications, not for the most part, but, you know, in one way or another, don't necessarily have that sort of structure, or instead of rich text, they're using HTML, and that's not always an easy gap to bridge. But the whole doc link thing. I mean, that's you know, it's great in Notes, and it's so difficult when you get just outside of that Notes bubble to get around that. And of course, there's Ben Lang Henrik's his products, the Coex Links, and the Midas rich text, apparently do just excellent jobs at dealing with that very issue. But it's funny because those two things, which are just huge strengths for Notes, are also you know, can be a little bit of a barrier sometimes.
Mm-hmm. So Alan, what's the like the market conditions right now are from what I can tell, you know, customers are relooking at Lotus Notes. I mean, is that what you've seen?
Oh, absolutely. There's, you know, I don't think there's anyone that will deny that there was, you know, a black period there for a while where things were a little questionable about what we were doing and the future of various products and on and on and what new products were coming out. But starting, you know, 2 years ago or so, and solidified even more and more in the last 12 months, is a very easy to look up, easy to find, factual, not, you know, just perception, commitment from IBM to the Lotus brand again, the things we're doing with Lotus Notes, the things we're doing with FameTime, the things we're doing with QuickPlace. You know, the products that our customers have in their portfolio today, and, you know, new things we've brought out, Notes running on Linux, or Notes running on USB devices, or, you know, on and on and on, FameTime running on Linux. You know, there's been a huge resurgence in what we're committing to the customer, and that just breeds excitement. These people that, or these customers that look at us and say, you know, we weren't sure of your plans, but now that we know this is what's coming and this is what's coming, they feel a lot more, you know, committed to. That said, those are all, you know, pathway items that lead to evolution. You know, I think people would be upset if we weren't continuing to make Notes do more and more and more, and we will. With each future and subsequent version of the client and the server are going to have components added to it, just like they have for the last 15 years.
Something interesting, too, you know, being involved with OpenNTF, you know, I get a lot of email from people requesting just about everything. But lately, I've been getting a lot of emails from people who are new to Notes. You know, they discover OpenNTF, they click on one of the links that to contact, you know, technical support at OpenNTF, and they're asking, you know, where can I find resources? I'm new to Notes, you know, on how to get started with app development. And this is, I mean, it's gone up significantly in the last couple of months, so something's cooking. Just to interject here, we were talking about applications before, and I'd like to ask both Alan and Eric to talk about some of their favorite, you know, Notes applications.
Go ahead,
sure,
Alan.
I can jump in there. And again, I think blog readers have heard me talk about this one in the past, but it's just such a fun example to me that I enjoy mentioning it. But things like Major League Baseball teams using Lotus Notes to do their scouting because of, you know, the offline replication capabilities, and, you know, these major league teams send scouts out to minor league fields and take statistics of all the players they see and their health and their batting averages and their pitching percentages and on and crunch all these numbers and make huge, you know, monumental decisions for the future of ball clubs, all based on Lotus Notes software. That's been one of the more fun examples that I've had the opportunity to work with in the past. And it's not even just one product. There's actually, you know, a product out there from one of our business partners that does it, and then there's a product from the services team inside IBM that does something very similar. So between those two products, we cover pretty much every team in American Major League Baseball. That's definitely not the typical application that you would expect people to hear about when we talk about help desks and customer relationship management and, you know, some of the more standard examples.
Or
I like
field management,
some,
right?
Yeah, you know, this would be baseball field, diamond management, I guess we
there
could call
go.
It. So that would be mine. I have a lot more, but Eric, I'll let you say one.
Well, as I think about it, I'm just doodling here, and I realize that I pretty much live inside of Notes, and it's because the solutions that are available to me are powerful. There are four key applications on my radar right now. One of them, I'll toot my own horn, is my e-productivity template for Lotus Notes, and that's just an application that I put together about 5 years ago, actually longer than that, and it is a tool for implementing the GTD methodology inside of Lotus Notes.
Eric,
and
you
for
stop
me,
for a second, explain to people
sure.
what GTD is.
Ah, yes, GTD is the, yeah, if you're inside the circle, GTD stands for Getting Things Done, which is a productivity methodology that was put together by David Allen, who has been a client and friend of mine for 14 years, and I have the privilege of serving him as his technologist. So in the course of getting organized, I developed this template over the years, and I've had the wonderful opportunity and privilege to get good feedback from a man who really does get it. And I've put that into my template. That helps me organize my projects and actions. End of shameless plug. The other applications that I use on a regular basis that for me are just powerful is the Cobra Image Router. Have you guys heard of that? The Cobra Image Router with the HP Digital Center? Oh, this application, I've set it up for some law firms as well as I use it here. What this application does is it takes a network scanner that Hewlett-Packard and many other companies make, and it makes the network scanner an extension of Lotus Notes. Now, I'm sitting at my desk. If you've looked at my blog, you've seen my desk. I've got this device sitting on my floor, and that's my file cabinet. If I want to file something, I drop it in this HP Digital Center. I push a button, no PC involved. I push a button on the screen. It looks like a fax machine. I scroll through a list of Notes databases. I choose my clients and my matters, and I push store, and it scans the document, OCRs it, converts it to searchable PDF, and then goes and populates it in the appropriate Lotus Notes database. Now, the neat thing is that it's the network appliance, and the Cobra Image Router is the glue that hooks it into Notes so that my Notes and Domino directories are available at these devices, and because they're networkable, you can have them everywhere. So that is just really neat. I can file documents in customers' databases on their servers from here. It really is neat.
I've got one. I'll jump in real quick. Just that they popped into my mind that I think is a very simple example that people can relate to about what you can do with notes, and that is all the little notes and things that you take. Your phone number, or not phone numbers, you put those in your contact list, but you know, your bank numbers and little tidbits of information that you keep and websites you need to visit and all the, you know, little things that you would put in Post-it notes and stuff. I just have one simple Lotus Notes journal database that they're nothing more than documents. I just create a document, give it a title, and keep some information in there, people's birthdays, so on. So I had a friend that saw me doing this and was like, well, what are you doing? Why are you putting everything in there? And I said, well, where do you keep all the infos that you have to write down? And they said, well, you know, I create a document or something, and they opened up their My Documents folder, and they had 500 different things in there, spreadsheets and Excel files and Word documents and, you know, all these things in their My Documents folder. And I clicked on My Documents folder and had maybe three or four items in there, and they went, well, where do you keep everything? And I said, inside this notes database. And I showed them what a view looks like and the fact that I can see the title and see the date and then full text search it and forward those items to other people, and, you know, all the things I can do by simply having my own personal information inside a notes database. And they were like, wow. And one of the things I love the most about that is I now have one file to back up. I don't have to look at hundreds of files and make sure they're on my tape drive and things. It's like,
absolutely,
you know, AllenStuff.nsf. As long as I back that up once a week, I feel pretty safe. So some very simple things people wouldn't think of to do with Lotus Notes.
You know, in fact, Alan, moving back to the GTD methodology, David teaches about having your five lists, your calendar, your projects, your next actions, your someday maybes, and your waiting fors. And I keep those as clean lists in my mail database. And then using the power of DocLinks, I use DocLinks to point to what I call reference material, which is the other 400 notes icons on my desktop, so that if I have an action that says, call Bruce about this, I might have some information in the action, but if there's a support file that is related to that, I bury the DocLink right there, so everything I need is accessible, but not duplicated.
Yep, and my calendar entry is for meeting after meeting. I have links to the contact people, I have links to emails that came from them. You know, I'm constantly putting, you know, contact information, calendar information, email information together, exactly as you mentioned it, by doing it via DocLinks as opposed to reproducing that content.
Okay, and actually, in terms of applications, you know, one of the things that's coming up with Hanover, I guess not necessarily in Hanover, as a really kind of giant new application that this getting kicked out is Activity Explorer. Now some of the applications that you guys are discussing here are things that you really can sit down and explain to someone in one or two lines. Activity Explorer is kind of yet another of these just giant things, almost the same problem we were talking about with Lotus Notes, where you say, gosh, it does so many things. Activity Explorer seems like a very large product. How are we going to run into the same problem of trying to sell Activity Explorer by running into that wall of, you know, how do you explain it in one or two sentences?
Well, I'll take that as the internal IBMer. you know, what's going to have to be focused on in Activity Explorer is not the product itself or what hardware or software it is, but what features it brings to you and how it integrates into your daily life. And if we deliver tangible examples of that, which we have because I use Activity Explorer every day internal at IBM, if we turn around those case studies and show people how projects get worked on with it and, you know, how things are, it needs to be explained as much more than just a repository for links to info. It has to be justified as a tool that builds the relationships between the documents and their owners and subject matter experts and things like that. One of the most powerful things it brings to the table is the ability for me to see links between projects that I'm working on with other people. I can select, for example, my manager's name from my activity list, and Activity Explorer will show me in common the activities that we're working on. And all of a sudden you start to get, you know, some sort of, you know, catchphrases like social capital, but you can see things that you have in common and expertise and subject matter experts and things like that. And, you know, that's where we'll have to focus on Activity Explorer as opposed to just, you know, saying it's yet another repository and how does it overlap with notes and things like that. So work to be done, and I can tell all of the listeners, make sure to be in Orlando and in January 2007 and hear a lot more about it.
You know, Julian, that was a really good question.
That was a great question. I owe you a dollar for the segue. The Activity Explorer product managers will be very happy with it.
So right now, Alan just wrote down, oh boy, need to figure out a way to really explain Activity Explorer. Because, I mean, I just thought of that. I'm like, there's that whole thing again. How do you explain this to the...
But Bruce, I don't explain it. I just show it.
Just do it.
More often than not, I will sit down with the client, and when they go, hey, David says you use Notes, and you're a whiz at this. What is Notes? And I'll usually just take my laptop or my tablet and turn it around.
Yeah.
If I could
leave listeners with, Alan Lepofsky, Lotus Marketing Guys, one personal wish, it would be that we really stop discussing the technology behind things.
Absolutely.
The brand name that IBM chooses to put on it, or the server that it runs on, or what, coded language it was written in, and instead focus on what it does. I think we would all be a lot better off.
Here. I raise my coffee cup.
All right. Now, Alan, I got one last question for you. And
we can't end it on that? No, sure.
Well, okay, I won't ask it.
Go right ahead, please.
Since you're a marketing guy, help me understand this. What's the difference between sales and marketing?
Is specifically in the IBM world, or just a generic question?
Oh, both.
Okay, so, sales would obviously be the closing of the deal to ensure that, the customer writes the check and the revenue comes into the company. So the customers are the customers of sales. Marketing is sort of the provider of the content and knowledge that sales uses to, educate and inform and demo to those customers. So marketing does a lot more things than I think the average person, that doesn't work in marketing assumes. I think for most people, marketing equals advertising, and it doesn't. Advertising is one, very, very small component of marketing. Marketing people do naming of products. They do pricing of products. They do bundling of products. They do the themes that are put around things. They design the website. Marketing is pricing, packaging, promotion. Marketing does not equal advertising. So, I think there's a very general misperception of what a marketing person does. We get yelled at, Alan, you're in marketing. Why more Notes TV commercials? that's not my job in marketing. So,
does
that help at all?
Oh well, yeah, and the reason I even that it even came to mind was because I have a kind of a fuzzy distinction between the two things a lot of times. And I was trying to think if we were discussing marketing or sales here, because I think that a lot of times people would refer to this as sales, where really what we're talking about is kind of marketing notes.
I've got the most tangible example. Sales guys drive a lot nicer cars. That's the difference.
Let's not get talking about cars again.
Yeah, the sales guys have better golf games and nicer cars.
Hey, they all have four wheels that get you from point A to point B. All right.
I just made some enemies in sales.
Before we wrap it up, Eric just hit me on Skype here, and he wants to add a couple more things about some of the notes applications. So, Eric?
Okay, and this is, I'm in no way connected with these companies other than the fact that they're just products that I use and recommend to clients, and I think that we've achieved some pretty remarkable results. So I encourage you to take a look at these and many of the ones that are out there. I mentioned the Cobra Image Router and the HP Digital Sender. That's an awesome solution. The other two apps that I run my business on is the Remark Unified Messaging. There's one that's been around for a long time that integrates telephony and Lotus Notes in a number of ways. And the other one that I've been playing with for the last few years is MNotes and the Pylon application server. MNotes basically extends notes to a mobile device. In my case, it's a Trio 650, but it could be any number of devices. And allows me to take my notes data with me wherever I go. And the Pylon application server from the Sideways folks lets me actually replicate notes databases onto a portable device. I know there's been a lot of discussion about, will IBM do that or come out with a Notes Lite or something, but there are guys and business partners who are doing that today, and it works. So those are just a few to look at. You know, I live in Domino blog, use my RSS readers, but those are some key apps that help me run my business.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Leposky, any closing words for the Taking Notes listeners regarding tonight's discussions?
Well, I would just close with saying, you know, Eric's mentioned a couple great business partner companies, and Julian mentioned some as well. For a complete list, I would suggest that people go to the Lotus Software website and click on the link to business partners, and then you can click on, you know, find a business partner. You can see the Domino Solutions catalog. I think it will possibly surprise people about the, you know, hundreds or thousands of different applications. So while we've mentioned a couple specific companies and they do great work, there's also others that do, you know, similar applications for mobile applications or for unified messaging or on and on. So there's a great partner ecosystem out there that I hope companies will take a look at.
Yeah, in fact, you've done a good job. Whoops. You've done a good job, Alan, on your blog of listing excellent links to resources and sort of distilling that down. So Bruce will make sure to put in a plug for Alan's blog.
Okay. I didn't want to do that, but thank you. Yeah, if you go to my blog on the left-hand navigator, you'll see a list of links, and one of them is called Product Catalog. And for anyone, any partner out there that finds out about that link because of this podcast and realizes their information's not on there, just send me an email.
All right. Everyone, Collaboration University again, September 13th through 15th in beautiful Kansas City, Missouri. And September 27th through 29th in London. Again, register now at www.collaborationuniversity.com. A lot of great speakers, Chris Miller, Carl Tyler, Rob Novak, Satwick, who we spoke to on the podcast. Lots of great, great speakers with lots of expertise and quick place and same time. See, I got it right, guys.
Same place.
So, Julian, any parting words for episode 31 before we toss it into the recycle bin?
No, I think we should try to follow up in a couple weeks or months or something like that, and just maybe get the four of us together again.
That would be great.
See what's changed, and especially as we're going into Lotusphere season.
Mm-hmm. If any customers want to, you know, have these similar conversations with people one-on-one, just, you know, let IBM and Lotus know. I'm happy to have the same conversation with anyone that needs to hear it.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you can actually get to Alan using a Note SameTime 7.5 public client,
mm-hmm.
right?
That is
right?
True, and since I blogged about that, I have a lot of people saying hi.
I think I connected to Alan today, actually, and it worked.
We did. Bruce and I chatted today via secure SameTime 7.5.
All right, we'll go ahead and try to link directly to your SameTime persona somehow from the blog.
Hey, guys, don't forget about Willikai. It's some giant secret they're going to announce there. Wonder if it's a mascot. Oh, well, I guess we'll find out at Collaboration University.